Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to be talking about the Kingdom of God, and we're going to be talking about tents and cities. In another video by Chen, who was talking about lukewarm and loving it, he's talking about the church is lukewarm and not passionate about Christ, and he's a very passionate speaker. This is a preacher down in Simi Valley where I used to pick those onions and radishes. And he's making a change in his life. And somebody else sent me another article about somebody who is a minister for a number of years, a paid minister, went to the seminary, did the whole bit. And I think it's Jason Savage. And he's making a change. He's talking about leaving the ministry and not being this paid minister, but going out and preaching repentance to the church in America. Of course, I've been doing that for about 20 or 30 years. And it was because I am led to do that. I am told to do that in my heart and my mind, and that is what I'm trying to do. And so when we're talking about the mark of the beast, I am emphasizing the mark of God. You must have the mark of God in your heart and in your mind, and then you won't have a place for the mark of the beast. You will have passed the test. Now, many of you have already gotten the mark of the beast. You don't even know it. You don't even know what that means. But have you got the spirit of the beast and the holy angels and the Lamb are going to be watching to see you through this test where we find out where is your heart really at? You've been deceived, a strong delusion. Everybody would be deceived. Even the very elect would have been deceived. This is such a clever delusion that Christianity is not what you think it is. It's something quite different. Christianity being the following of Christ, following the ways of Christ, being a person who lives in the way of truth, walking in the Spirit, however you want to say it. What does that really look like? What does that really mean? How does that really manifest itself in reality? And so these men are making choices based on something speaking to them in their heart and their mind. Now, will they persevere into the end? I don't know. I have no way of knowing. But I find that interesting that I see that more and more. Maybe it's because more and more people are seeing it and sending me the articles. But the point is, are you lukewarm and loving it? Are you seeking ministers who tickle your ears? Have you been deceived? Are you willing to see the truth, the whole truth, and provide for it? Are you willing to repent? Are you willing to turn around? Are you willing to follow in the ways of Christ? In Luke 18:18, we see, "And a certain ruler asked him, saying, Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, All these I have kept from my youth. Now, when Jesus heard this thing, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. Now, this individual was trying to find another way to go, another way to be, something more. He was already keeping the commandments, but he wanted to do something more. He was a very fervent individual. And Jesus said, sell all you have and come follow me. He wanted him to follow in the ways that Christ was going and the ways he was teaching. And the man heard what Christ said, these specific instructions, and was very sorrowful, for he was a very rich man. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, Who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all and followed thee. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world, meaning the age, that's the word he uses there, aeon, to come, life everlasting. So he says that they're actually going to get that reward right then, but that reward will not be like what most people are thinking. It won't be that guaranteed salary. In Luke 19:8, we see it says that Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I gave to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusations, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come unto the house, to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. And anyway, he goes and he stays with Zacchaeus. What does he mean, this son of Abraham? What is he talking about? Well, we talk about Ezekiel 37:4. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say upon them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And that is what you're seeing in many of these ministers. They are the dry bones. The modern church is full of dry bones, full of dead men's bones. Can we breathe life into them? I can't, but Christ can. And that's what you're seeing, is these ministers are saying, no, I'm willing to give up all. I'm willing to let go. Now, they may not start giving up all, but at least they're willing to let go, get out of their comfort zone, and go a little bit different way. If we go way back to Genesis 4:17, we see, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and he builded a city. And the word city there is Eon Yod Daresh. And he called that name of the city after the name of his son, Enoch. What is this city? Did you know that the word for city is also the word for anguish, terror? If you go to Genesis 4:20, we see Adah bare Jabal, and he was the father of such as dwell in tents, and of such as have cattle. Now, he probably lived in a tent, and he probably had cattle, but the word cattle there is also possessions. And lived in a tent is actually should be distinguished from those who lived in the city. He lived in a tent. He didn't live in the city. Except for the city is not just like downtown. When you're lonely, you go downtown. Well, no, city has to do with structure of society. Tent has to do with structure of society. If you live in your own tent and with a bunch of other people in a tent, and they live each in their own tent and have possessions, they own their own stuff, they live in their own tents, they are their free families in their tents, that's different than living in a city, the walled-in camp, the city, the enclosure, the social compact, city. Now, this is the thing with Hebrew, is that you can have words that mean kidney and words mean reins of control, and it's the same word. It means kidney or reins. And you can have a word that means honor and a word that means to fatten. And you can have these words that have multiple meanings and same exact words. So you can say the word tent here and mean just, you know, a tent made out of canvas or goat hair or what have you. It can also mean skin stretched out over a framework. You're a tent. Just like you have altars of clay, altars of Adama. You're Adama. You're an altar of clay. You have altars of stones. These are specific, molded to some degree by the requirements of God, but unhewn stones that fit together and form an altar. These are people. They're talking about people and the way in which society comes together and deals with the things of society. In Genesis 14:13, we see, and there came one that had escaped and told Abraham. Let's go back. Abraham dwelt in tents, and he built altars. And he didn't live in the city like Sodom and Gomorrah, but he dwelt in tents. But he built these altars. And we see in this Genesis 14:13 that he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite. Mamre is a guy. It's also a people, the Amorite. Brother of Eshcol, who also were a people, and brother Anar, who also were a people. And these were confederate with Abraham. And we could go into the word confederate later, but if you go farther down to Genesis 24, these are the people that went with him to go against the five kings who had conquered Sodom and Gomorrah. And those people who had conquered Sodom and Gomorrah did so in this battle, and they had brought them under tribute, and then they fought, they rebelled, and then there was this battle, and then they lost their stuff, including Abraham. Not mean Abraham, but Lot was taken away. But Abraham and his own people gathered together armed men, 318, but also, because this is five kings, a big army, the Mamre and the Amorite and Eshcol and Anar. And so we see in 14:24 where he says, save only that which young men have eaten. He's talking about dividing the spoils now with the king of Sodom. And the portion of the men which went with me, Anar, Eshcol, Mamre, let them take their portion, their right to the spoil. But Abraham would take not a buckle. There, Abraham saved Lot. He saved Lot because he had built an altar which made men like Anar, Eshcol, Mamre confederates. And all their people confederates, because he built altars of stone and clay to take care of the social network of the people. But each people lived in their own tents with their own possessions. This is the structure of his society. They gather together by the thousands in family groups. Now you think a family group, how many people is that? A family group is all your sons, your married sons, your unmarried daughters, their servants, their sons and their sons' servants, all the households under Abraham produced an army of 318 men. But with the Amorite and the Eshcol and Anar, they had many men, a confederacy of men, not bound by contracts, covenants, and constitutions, but bound by love through an altar of free will offerings to take care of the needy of their society. This is what Abraham was doing. We talk about this in the book, Thy Kingdom Come. We show you a lot more detail of it. But if we go on to Exodus 9:33, we see, and Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and spread abroad his hand unto the Lord, and the hundreds and hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. He went out of the city of Pharaoh, out of the jurisdiction of Pharaoh, and put out his hands, and the hail stopped. And when we get to Leviticus 25:32, we see, notwithstanding the cities of the Levites and the houses of the cities of their possessions, may the Levites redeem at any time. At any time. Why? Because the Levites owned all things in common. Because the Levites belonged to God. Because the Levites were the priests of the congregations of the people. They were the living stones of God's altar. But the people had, they owned their own possessions. They were kings in their own house. So they chose who to give to and who not to give to maintain the social welfare of society in altars of free will offerings. And if a Levite was a good Levite, he would receive of the people. If he was a poor Levite and not a good public servant of that government, he would not receive of the people. And therefore, the people were the government for themselves. They chose by themselves to take care of the needy of their society. This takes a special kind of person. And if you're not that kind of person, if the Israelites were not going to be that kind of person, they would end up rejecting God, and they would end up electing a king who could exercise authority and force the contributions of the people. But he could also take their sons and daughters. You see, these are the two systems of the world, or I should say two systems in the world. One is of God and one is not of God. One is based on free will offerings. One is not. These are the divisions between the goats and the sheep. The sheep lay down their life. The goats do not. In Leviticus 25:33, it goes on to say, and if a man purchased of the Levite, then the house that was sold and the city of his possession shall go out in the year of Jubilee. For the house of the cities of the Levites are their possession amongst the children of Israel. It doesn't belong to someone else. It belongs to God because the Levite belongs to God. Now, if you don't want to be a Levite, you know, leave. Go join another family. Become of the tribe of Reuben. You can do that. Simply be adopted into another family and be as a son to them. Now, you could be adopted into Babylon and become the son of Babylon. And the Babylon will be your father and your family. And you will be in one family, and he will be your patronus, your pater, your father of the earth. But Jesus said, call no man on earth father, but my father in heaven. Obviously, he's not saying don't honor your natural father. He is agreeing to that. So your days will be long upon the land, but your days are not going to be long upon the land because you have not honored your fathers. You have made new men your fathers, the fathers of the earth. In verse 29, we see, and if a man sell his dwelling in a walled city, then he may redeem it within the whole year after it is sold. Within a full year may he redeem it. He repeats that. Today, in the tax laws, if you lose your property because you don't own it, you have to pay rent, you have to pay taxes. In many states, you have a year to redeem it. But that's because you live in the city, in the walled-in city. You don't really own your house. According to the original rules, God wanted you to own your house. He wanted to own the land. He wanted you to have the right to the milk and honey, to the beneficial interest. If you don't know what I'm saying, you need to go study law versus legal or read or listen to the audios or videos on that, all free online. But this is the difference between the living in a tent and living in the city. Your tent could be set up in the city, but it's your tent. And when you use the word city, like a location. But city isn't a location, it's a jurisdiction. 1 Samuel 2:22, now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. What is he talking about? Now there's a word there, tabernacle, that we see. I believe it's Lamad Chet Elef. Oh, no, it's Lamad Hey Elef. Yeah, Ohel. And that word tabernacle is translated tabernacle 198 times, but 141 times it's only translated tent. And it's also translated dwelling and place and covering and home. And it can mean a tent, but it also can have a symbolical representation of life in the wilderness. In other words, not in the city, as opposed to living in the city. There's another word, chuka, and it is also translated tabernacle, and it's quite a bit different. Chuka is quite a bit different than this ole. And it can mean booth or pavilion or cottage or tent. And so these different words, all being translated tabernacle or being translated tent, can be confusing when you're reading them in the text because they actually have different meaning. If you look at the word city, which is ear, resh has to do with ruling, yad has to do with people, and in. And it actually can appear as two letters as well. But it is often translated city or town, or sometimes everyone, or a variance of that. But it is defined as excitement or anguish. The secondary definition of terror. A guarded place. And I always remember the movie Magnificent Seven, when they talk, so Eli Wallach talks about, I see the civic improvements, you've added these walls. These walls will not keep me out. And Yul Brynner says, they were made to keep you in. You should remember that. That's very significant. The walls are not made to keep you safe. It's to keep you, period. And that's what jurisdictions are about. That's why they want you to take oaths and allegiance and and swear and sign binding contracts, because you are making covenants with them and with their gods, their ruling judges. You are entering their city and you are becoming part of their family. In 1 Samuel 8:22, and the Lord said to Samuel, "Hearken unto the voice of their voice, meaning the voice of the people, and make them a king." And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, "Go ye every man unto his city." If you go back to 1 Samuel 4:10, he says the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent. And there was a very great slaughter, and there fell Israel 30,000 footmen, because men went back to save their own tent and not stay together. They were not bound together enough in love to stand as one people, united as one people. You see, when they had the golden calf, everything, we've gone over this. The golden calf was a central bank where they put their gold in this calf. It was referred to in other city states as a reserve fund, but your wealth was there in that golden calf, so you had to stay there and defend it or flee bankrupt. So where your money was, your heart was. Now, this will cause such a disarray in the world today when suddenly you can't get your money even out of your banks, and your debit cards and your credit cards don't work anymore, and you can't even get food, and it's just panic. Because they bound you together, because they bound your wealth together. And so a lot of people are saying, oh, get your money out of the banks and get gold and silver and stock up on your rice and beans. But that's not kingdom. Stock up on love for one another. How do you do that? Build an altar, like Abraham, an altar of stone, where men, look out amongst yourselves, find men you trust who are men of service. Don't empower them to take from you. You keep your right to choose to give, but you give free will offerings, and they take care of the needy of your society. If you want your rights back, you must take your responsibility back as elders of congregations, free assemblies that take care of one another under the perfect law of liberty. This is what it means to dwell in tents, to build altars of clay and stone. This is what the Levites were to be doing. We look at the ancient histories through the eyes of the Pharisees, who got it wrong, had already twisted it to be something else. That's not the way it works. In 1 Kings verse 9:21, we see, and their children were left after them in the land, whom the children of Israel were not able utterly to destroy. And upon those did Solomon levy a tribute of bond service unto the day. Now, everything Solomon did was not good. Solomon did not keep the law of God. He oppressed the stranger in his midst, and this is one of the ways. He forced tribute. But the children of Israel did Solomon make no bondsmen, but they were men of war, and his servants, and his princes, and his captains, and his rulers of his chariots, and his horsemen. He was rich. Go back to Samuel 8. He says he will appoint his captains, his heads, he will make his chariots, his instruments of war, but your sons will end up running before those chariots. All that came to be. Solomon broke the rules, but the people had already broke the rules by electing a Solomon. Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt and linen, yarn, and kings. He was accumulating horses. If you go back to Deuteronomy 17:16 and see, he was to do nothing to return you to the bondage of Egypt. He wasn't to accumulate horses. Now, we're not talking horse farm. There's, again, that symbol. You know, we're not talking kidneys all the time. Sometimes we're talking reins of control. We're not talking horses all the time. Sometimes we're talking cavalry, or what cavalry represents as the army of the king. You know, the Gestapo were the horses of Adolf Hitler. They ran for him to keep him in power. So who are the horses in your society? Tiberius, he created this vast network of bureaucracy to maintain his power. In Kings 12:3, we see that they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Who's his father? Solomon. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father, and his heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve thee. In other words, they wanted the yoke lighter. Is that what he did? Is that how he operated? No. No, he says, my father made you yoke heavy, and I will add to your yoke. And my father also chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. I can't believe that was his campaign promise, but that's amounted to what he was doing. They wanted reform. Israel wanted reform. They wanted to go back a little bit to the way it used to be. But the king didn't want to go back. His idea of reform was to make it heavier. Put you more in debt. A heavier burden on you. But that is not the way it should go. That is not the way it should be. In 1 Kings 12:16, he says, so when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, and the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel, now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. And he uses that word, lamad, hey, eleph. So they went back to their tents. They didn't go back to their cities. They went back to their tents. Not like back in Samuel where he said, go back, you know, they went, were told to go to their cities and they would enter into their civil structure and jurisdiction. But the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, okay, now these are the guys who live in the cities, not in their tents, of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. They stayed in the cities. They don't mean geographical location. They're talking about jurisdiction. Now that in the cities, the king has a persona jurisdiction over the people. Now, this is because the words have multiple meanings. And the king Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute. The people now were going to have to pay tribute. And all of Israel stoned him with stones, and he died. Therefore, the king of Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. This is what they were doing. They were setting up systems, civil systems, where the king could compel attacks, as we saw with Saul, compelling attacks. And we'll talk more about this when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, God bless America, and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Okay, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. And we look at the Song of Solomon, verses 6 of chapter 8. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, and a seal upon thine arm. For love is strong as death, jealousy is cruel as the grave. The coals thereof are coals of fire, which hath most vehement flame. Jealousy. Remember, if we love our enemy, it's like coals of fire being heaped upon his head. We need to create a society in which operates on love, not force, not forcing tribute from our neighbor, not electing kings and rulers to rule over our neighbor, but seek Jerusalem, a double peace of righteousness. We need to walk away from the bread of kings. If you be a man of appetite, put a knife to your throat, for he serves you deceitful dainties. That's what it tells you in Proverbs. What should have been for your welfare has become a snare. In Romans 13:7, we see, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due. Now, you may owe tribute because of the covenants you have already made. To custom, to whom custom. To fear, to whom feared. Honor to whom honor. Pay your debts. But why are you in so much debt? Because you've already strayed from the path. Don't be the rebellious sons of Israel, but be those who seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek that alternative way. It will change you. Owe no man anything but to love one another. And he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Can you do that? I mean, really, take care of one another with love. This is the mark of God. This is the mark you want in your hearts and in your minds. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. And thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in the saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You should not be imposing tribute upon your neighbor so that you can get the benefits of the fathers of the earth. You should say, I forgive the debt. I will no longer take that benefit. I will gather together with other free souls under God. And if they have the means to benefit me, if I have need, I have hope of their blessings. I will not depend upon force, but I will depend upon hope and love and charity. Can you do that? Can you gather with others to do that? Can you even take baby steps in that direction towards the kingdom? Romans 13:10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, we could not put burdens on our neighbor. We would rather fast to get plump on our neighbor's sacrifices. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of the sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. They believed, but now they had to live by that belief. They had to bear the fruits worthy of repentance. The night is far spent for us today, as it was in the days of Paul. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not rioting and drunkenness, not in the chambering of wantonness, not in strife, not in envy. That word envy, it's not always translated envy, it's also translated be fervent, to boil with heat, to be hot. It actually comes from word, it's the word zealous, and it comes from the word zeo, which means to be fervent. And we should be fervent, but not excitable. The word that we see envy in there, it's translated 5 times envy, but 6 times zeal, or indignation, or a fervent mind, or jealousy, or emulation. It means the excitement of the mind. The ways of Christ, the ways of God, are calm, loving ways, generous ways, kind ways, patient ways. And they will be like hot coals on the head of the unbeliever. And he will rail against us and say, oh, we don't need to gather together. Oh, we just have to be nice to people. Oh, we don't have to do any works. You do. You are saved by faith, but if there is no works, your faith comes into doubt. Do you really have faith? Do you really believe? Romans 14:1, him that is weak in faith receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. He is weak in faith. He does not understand the real charity of the kingdom, where Christ has appointed ministers to be the benefactors who do not exercise authority. It's scary to be such a benefactor. I mean, you don't, to really give up all and walk and follow Christ. That's a hard thing to do. And I see ministers trained up in the modern seminaries of apostate church saying, this is not what I was looking for. This was quite a shocker to me, too, when I realized they're not seeing what I'm seeing. I thought when they said the words of Jesus, they knew what they were talking about. They were just parroting them. I mean, there's some good in them. There's some nice guys. But they're not really walking in the Spirit. That's the thing is that, because you can read the book, you can walk a lot like you're walking in the Spirit. But when it really comes down to it, they don't. In 1 John 4:1, we see, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. But, you know, they can lie. What does it mean, confess? It means just with your lips? Well, they talk about that, but are they doing it with their works? And this is what James is talking about. And even Paul talks about it. Paul talks about doing works. He says that if they're not keeping the commandments, stay away from them. And every spirit that confesseth not Jesus Christ confesses what? How they live is their confession. His come in the flesh is not of God. They don't recognize that Jesus is the Messiah, the King of a government. that does not exercise authority one over the other, but provides all the benefits of government through free will offerings and the perfect law of liberty. All, not some, not token. God does not need help from the fathers of the earth, except in punishing the wicked. This is what you should be doing in your congregations. And you think that's impossible because you lack faith. You are weak in faith. But you can't be made strong in faith unless you walk in the ways of God. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Spirit of Christ in you is greater than the spirit of the world. He's talking to people who were doing it, who are taking care of one another without the help of Rome's free bread. They were doing it. You're not doing it. So when you do it, you're going to come face to face with how generous and kind and loving you are and how generous and kind and loving you are not. And it will test the inclination of your heart. And the holy angels and the Lamb will be there. Unfortunately, it's going to be a tough final exam. They are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. The world's not going to hear you. We are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, and God is love. And this was manifest, the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Can we do that? Are we doing that? Not if we are praying and applying to the fathers of the earth who exercise authority one over the other. We must turn away from that. That is where it has led us. There's a lot of little things. In exercising authority one over the other in families, husbands and wives, we need to deal with. The problems of the world today are evidence we haven't been dealing with that Spirit of Christ walking in us. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to have love for one another. Who will lay down his life for his neighbor? Who will give up all to go and serve? Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. But we are not. Can we take care of one another? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Can we do that? Can we be that? 1 John 5:1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. But do you really believe? Where is the fruits of that belief? Why are you praying to men who exercise authority? Why do you have to in your churches? If you go to a church established by Christ, why are they sending you to men who exercise authority? Men who will take your sons and daughters for your benefits. I mean, you may have to obey them. They may already have a right to you and what you have and your labor and your possessions. But why are you going to them and praying for benefits back? Freely give. Now, go and take care of one another. We need to learn to love our brothers. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, if you're walking in the Spirit, you will not be drawn into the mark of the beast. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would do. You won't be seduced by the dark side. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are they? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, big long word, desiring. You know, they talk about unclean, filthy lucre. They talk about Corbin that makes the word of God to none effect. Adultery. Most of the time when adultery is mentioned in the Bible, they're talking a national adultery when they were making covenants with other governments around them. That was called adultery. They were marrying themselves to other governments that exercised authority, losing their inalienable rights or access to them because they sold themselves into bondage. Other works of the flesh, idolatry. And we talk about that, and we'll talk about it again, this imagery where you create an image of Christ and you worship that image. It only counts if it's the real Christ. The real Christ is what you must be facing. Witchcraft. Trying to change the physical environment and obtain a spiritual result. Ritualism. That's what witchcraft is. You know, they talk about pharmaceutica being witchcraft. And, you know, I'm not against all medicines or anything like that, but that actually is wreaking chaos on the health of the people of the world because they're trying to change the physical and resolve spiritual issues. Much of disease that is in the world today is a result of spiritual issues. I'm not saying that everybody who's sick is a sinner. I can tell you this, everybody is a sinner, and some of them are sick. And some of them, if they turn around in their heart, they would be well. Even doctors will admit that if you have this attitude, the right attitude and happy, loving attitude, you will do better. You still may suffer, but that is, you know, laughter is the best medicine. It's also cheaper. Hatred. Who do you hate? Oh, I don't hate you. I just hate the things that you do. Well, you're angry enough to do evil things to people, to bear false witness against them, to curse them, to endanger them with your anger. That's hatred. When you say, I just have to say this because I get so mad, that's hatred. When you can say, I'm just saying this because I really love you and I don't want to see you make this mistake, that's not hatred. But if you have to get all worked up in order to do what you think is right, that's that zeal. That's that hatred. You're being carried away by your emotions. You're not walking in the Spirit. The Spirit is a still, small voice. It's quiet calm. They talk about variance and emulation and wrath and strife and sedition and heresies, envying, murder, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Ah, oh, but you're not saved by works. The thing is, you won't have those things if you really believe. You won't be given over to those works of the flesh if you really believe. I'll say, well, I believe, but the flesh is weak and all this stuff. No, your belief is weak. I know flesh is weak, but your belief is weak too. When your belief is strong, you won't be manifesting those fruits. Galatians 5:22, but the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and desires. It says lusts. But actually it means you have crucified the flesh with the affection for righteousness, the lust for righteousness, the covetousness of righteousness, not the covetousness of your neighbor's stuff. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Show me. Don't tell me you believe. Show me. Confess with thy deeds, not with thy mouth only, for the devil is a liar. He believes Jesus is the Son of God. He just doesn't do what he says. And many Christians can boast the same, for they are more aligned with Satan than they are with Christ, whoever Satan is. I don't want to draw pictures of demons in your heads. There is a good side and a dark side. That's why I make these references to the dark side. And I don't want to create those images. We understand in the spirit. We don't need to create images and cling to them. I don't want you to be afraid to go to hell. I just want you to love to go to heaven. I want you to love the righteousness of God. I want you to love to tend to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith, because you are drawn to those things. Galatians 6:1, the brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Don't get mad at people and say, they make me so angry I just had to say this. That's not of the Spirit. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If somebody's doing something you don't like, go to them and tell them. Quietly, patiently, long-suffering. Discuss it with them. Find out, make sure you got your facts straight. If you're not doing that, that's not the Spirit of Christ in you. That's not walking in the Spirit. That's another spirit you're walking in. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. And every man shall bear his own burdens. Is that what we're doing? That's what we should be doing. Eventually, thousands in Judea followed the ways of John and Jesus and the early church, and they were cast out of the social schemes of Herod and the Corban of the Pharisees, operated through the government building called the Temple and through the synagogues, which were part of the government of Judea. They didn't have any other way of taking care of the needy of their society. And Rome was doing the same thing, and those who became Christians began to take care of one another. And that's why we have in Revelations 14:9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark and in his forehead and in his hand, is that where you're at? Or are you receiving the mark of God in your heart and in your forehead and in your hands and what you do? That's what we need to deal with. That is where we need to go. That is what we need to be doing. And that is where we will find the grace of God to deal with the wrath of God that comes. The thumos. We need that ardor and willingness to do what Christ was talking about from the beginning, what Moses was talking about from the beginning, what Abraham was talking about from the beginning, of setting up altars of free will offerings to take care of our needy, because that is conducive of the Spirit of Christ in us. And it will bring us face to face when we fast from the benefits of the world and seek only the benefits of righteousness. It will bring us face to face with our own sin and our own hearts, and we can wash up. And we can be sons of God. And we can be the children and servants of God. But we have to be prodigal sons first. We have to go back to serve. And that's what we need to do. And that will protect you from the beast and the mark of the beast, because it will have no place in you. Can you do that? Can you go that way? Do you want to go that way? Well, then join us. Gather with others that are saying that at least, and then you'll find it out. Work out your salvation. And until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.